It's William S. from Virginia.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm Attic, my name is William. Man, I can't even explain how excited I am. You know what I mean? To be here like right now. You know what I mean? And to be in a place and to have such a great opportunity. You know what I mean? Because I understand, man, that this is not what it's really all about. You know what I mean? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was kind of consumed, and he had been asked to share somewhere, and he calls William up, and he says, well, William, you know, like, what do you do, and how do you deal with that, and how do you prepare yourself, because, like, I'm so overwhelmed, and I just want to do God's work, and I just want to do this, and I just want to do that. And I said, check it out, friend, check it out, like, recovering addict, like the big show isn't when you get behind the podium. The big show is what you do before you get to the podium. You know what I mean? So look, let's do the housekeeping first, man. I need to thank God, right, for, like, waking me up today. Let me do the housekeeping, man. Let me thank God for, like, everything. You know what I mean? Look, the traveling mercy and the connections and all the things and all the people that he's put in my path. You know what I mean? And for that thing that's going on inside of my spirit, man, that made me okay today. You know what I mean? Look. And for me to be able to get here, man, and for me to start to grab on to or grasp the common theme that's been going on all throughout this convention. Because, see, something happens, man. We got a lot of topics and a lot of people, and you got a whole lot of options and a whole lot of different ways to hear the same message that's going to get carried to you tonight. But I heard all throughout the day, everybody was talking about obedience. We was talking about, look, because I was listening, man, and I put the big ear out, man, and I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time, and ain't no need for no slow start. Let's just do the damn thing, and we could be out. It's too late for that, man. It's a new day. So I've been listening to everybody all day, man. They was talking about, you know, the obedience, man, and the importance of, like, following through in this process. You know what I mean? And the obedience, man. And look. I want to thank God, right, for the newcomers, not just any old newcomers, them new basic text-tote newcomers. I'm talking about that new crew. You know, the mini me's and stuff. I say that, man, because what happens is we go through this struggle, man, and when we're in an area and maybe even a region that sometimes goes through an identity crisis. Now, listen, look, I ain't auditioned for this. I'm going to really be okay if they never call me again, but I'm going to tell the truth. All right? How about that? So what happens is we deal with this identity crisis, and we get around in meetings, man, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know who told you wrong, man, but we lose that recovery zeal, man, because it's okay to have a zeal for recovery. And we lose that zeal, man, and what happens is we want to come in meetings, and I don't know about, like, well, when I got clean, we used to walk around with the basic text, and I'm from the greater Camden area originally, and we used to carry our basic text just to, like, keep the drug boys away. Like, you know, I'm in a fellowship. I don't want none. You know what I mean? Don't even ask me. You know what I mean? I don't want none. And then what happens is we used to wear the keychains, and they used to just hang, and you see somebody with 10 and 15 and 20-year keychains, and no, we don't hand out coins, and no, we're not clean and sober, or we don't have a whole lot of titles. Check it out, I'm William, and my last name is the same as yours, Addict. Right? So we got to get some stuff clear, man, because what you got to understand is that when I came in this program, like the newer members, you know what I mean? And thank God for the new members that come in here and just get excited right out the gate. Thank God for that brand new fresh pain that chase you up in the door, man, that you come in here willing to do whatever it takes to stay clean. Thank God for that new member that's showing up here now, man, and they're not necessarily a new breed, because we did the same thing, a lot of us, when we got here, but I'm saying, like, it's real exciting. Check it out. It's just like teaching your son or your daughter how to ride a bike for the first time. It's something about, like, when you run around behind them and you're holding on to that seat, and you keep telling them you can do it, and they keep looking back because they're afraid that if you let go, they're going to fall, and then one moment, like, you're no longer holding on, and they're riding the damn bike. So what's happening is like I'm hanging around, man, and look, here's where my new excitement comes from. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to talk about the complacency and how it started to kill me in the recovery process with like over 10 years clean. But I'm talking about like that new excitement that happened when I start watching newcomers show up in meetings with basic texts and start studying. I'm talking about that excitement I get when newcomers start raising their hand and say like, oh man, I'm so excited. I just finished the first step. Oh God, it's going on. I'm in the second step. Oh my God, you ain't going to believe it. I just finished the third step. A fourth step, a fifth step. I'm talking about they doing the work. And other people, man, I'm talking about people with way more time than them are jealous and envious because the newcomers is working their ass off. Yeah. You know what I mean? We talking about them. We start calling them names and stuff. And you got the microwave recovery. And you really, it ain't no way you could be recovering that much in this little bit of time. And you need to slow down. And remember that dumb shit they told you? Maybe if you stay around for a year, you can work a step. What, so I could die? So I'm hanging around with these cats, man. And I got here, man. Look, let me talk about me, man. I got here, man. I remember like the last day. You know what I mean? I was told, look, and you could beg to differ if you want. You know what I mean? But I understand that if I forget my last day, then I'm doing a repeat my last day. So I'm up in my penthouse. I'm in my penthouse and in a luxurious master bedroom. And I'm sitting there and something's wrong with this penthouse because I got two TVs in my penthouse. And I got a TV for sound and a TV with the picture. But this is my penthouse. And I'm watching that, and I got my shoebox top full of all the drugs I managed to get my hands on at the end of the room. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm doing my thing, and I'm buck naked, and I don't know what that's all about, the getting high and the butt naked thing, but I'm butt naked, and I'm getting high. And I'm in my room, and I'm smoking all that I can smoke, and I'm drinking all that I can drink, and I'm inhaling all I can inhale, and shooting all I can shoot, and the bottom line is a drug is a fucking drug. Don't want nobody to get left out. Talking about crackhead, crack houses, the keg parties, in the graveyard. So I'm saying if you missing it all that, man, it's okay. Keep coming. And I'm sitting there in the penthouse and I'm doing all these things. And, okay, fuck it. It wasn't a penthouse, but y'all embellish y'all story. So I'm fucking penthouse. All right. Second story penthouse in Camden, New Jersey. We ain't got no penthouses in Camden. So I'm there, man, and I'm going through that struggle, man. I'm talking about like I had to find a reference point, man, before I come here. Look, fuck the complacency piece. Let's talk about like what it takes just to get the initial excitement it takes to start working the process in the beginning, to be a person that wants to buy a basic tech, to be a person that wants to get a sponsor, to be a person that wants to have a home group, to be a person that wants to have a fellowship and develop a concept of one God. And maybe y'all said if I get with all the one things that I need to get with in the beginning, then later on I'll get with the concept of maybe it'd be a good idea to have one girlfriend. I mean, I know that goes right here, but I'm saying like one girlfriend, one girl, less problems. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in this room, in my penthouse room, and I'm struggling. I'm butt naked. And I'm butt naked because I'm trying to use anything to allow me to not feel the way I was feeling. And I understood early on, man, that like masturbation. Look, I'm saying I'm just trying not to feel. What I'm trying to feel is that like I'm married at the time. My wife just left me. She took the kids. She emptied the house. She left me. I didn't want the girl around the corner. I didn't want the girl next door, man. I wanted the person back, man, because I understood what I know now and what I didn't know then is that I had made this person my high power, and there was something about having somebody leave you that you're not finished with yet. So I'm sitting in this room, and I'm in a penthouse, and I'm using all the things that I can use, and I'm watching my two TVs, and like the drugs is just not, like, working. Not that I'm not getting high, but I am not finding any kind of way to stop this twisting that's going in my gut, man, with the fact that I've just once again experienced a loss that I wasn't ready yet for. So I go over and I look in my closet, man, because maybe if I look at a couple pieces of clothes I'm holding on to, because look, I don't know, but maybe if I get dressed up and have a dress-up party, I'll feel better. But nothing works in the closet. So I go and I look out the window. I still had this Cadillac, man. I had this hot-ass Cadillac, man. Check it out, man. My Cadillac had tinted windows. It had air shocks in the back. You know what I mean? It had somebody else's name on it because when you get shit from an auction, you know, it has other people's name on it and shit. But it looked good as hell. And I used to have to crack my windows because I didn't have, like, these fat, blow pump speakers and all that shit. I had a Spark-O-Matic. And with a Spark-O-Matic, you got to roll your window down and let people hear your shit. And on the inside of my car, I had a screwdriver. I'm just telling my man, he don't know my story. So I had a screwdriver. and my screwdriver was my turn signal, and all my doors were falling apart, and all the pleather was like ripped apart and stuff. And what that car represented was exactly who I was, because on the outside I had the ability, the innate ability to look like I was holding, but on the inside I was tore the fuck up. So I'm looking out the window and I realized, dang, I wasn't surprised when I got here and you told me social acceptability didn't equal recovery. I'm talking about like having a story, man, and having a reference point so when you get here and somebody tells you something, a light goes over your head, because it ain't the first time you heard this. So I'm sitting there and nothing's making me feel better, and I sit there, man, I start watching my TVs and a commercial came on. You know the damn commercial. This ain't the first time I talked about this commercial. And you old heads, you know what the fuck commercial it is. It was a commercial. It was all black. It had a floodlight down on this guy. He was rocking around the circus, and check it out, he had a suit and tie on because he was holding. Just in case you think that if you got a job with a suit and tie on, some kind of way it makes you a little better than a lady getting scripts. You know what this says, what the literature said. The Joker with the needle hanging out his neck in the alleyway. You know what I'm talking about. The crackhead Joker, you know what I'm talking about? He had a suit on and a tie. He was walking around a chair, and all he kept talking about was going to work so he can get more drugs, just to go to work, just to get more drugs. And he was talking about the vicious cycle. I'm talking about, this ain't the first time you should be hearing this. I'm just giving you some reference points so you understand what ran you up in here. So I didn't just see that one commercial, because that would have been too easy. Because I was right on the edge of tears. I was right on the edge of the kind of pain that it was going to take for me to want to come in this process. I was right on the edge of seeking something that had eluded me all my life. So they came with another commercial right after that commercial. Come on, man. God is good. Right after that commercial, with the same type of backdrop, it was all black. It was fade to black. Then the floodlight came on, and this little chick was sitting there, and she was cute and everything, and she had this big cast iron pot. You know, the kind of pot that mom made the mom's burgers with the onions hanging all the fire. I'm just ideaing with dude. I'm saying, so see, it was a pot, and it was on the fire, and she cracked the eggs and dropped the eggs. They started sizzling, and she said, "This is your brain on drugs." Yeah, old motherfucker. Y'all hear that? So I'm saying, when I got here, man, it was no surprise that, like, I found my way here. It was no surprise that God in his infinite mercy had some grace and mercy enough to bless me, to drop me in the middle of this beautiful fellowship. And when I got to this fellowship, I'm telling you, I was reduced to the type of joker that needed to be here. I was reduced to a level of humility where I was willing to take any kind of direction that it took. See, this is the problem. When you come in here and you still think you got it going on, this is a problem. When you come here and your motives are everything other than getting and staying clean. This is a problem when I tell you it'd be a good idea for you to get your basic text. It'd be a good idea for you to get a notebook. It'd be a good idea for you to get a dictionary, because you ain't as smart as you think you are. And maybe if you just do what we tell you to do, just maybe you'll stay clean one day past the day you think you can't stay clean. So I did that, and I got here in this fellowship, and I didn't come here, and I wasn't complacent when I got here. Well, there was no room in my life for any definition or understanding what complacency was, because when I got here, I was willing to do some work. I got with a sponsor right away. I didn't wait around. It was no time to wait around. It was no time to waste. It was like he said, get to stepping. You know what I mean? I said, okay, I'll get to stepping. What do you want me to do? You know what I mean? I'll do whatever you say do, because I'm in pain and I'm tired of losing shit. Yeah, I don't know what motivates you. I'm telling you, at the end of the road, I lost everything. I'm the same joker at the end of the road, man, that when I went to Granny's house, Granny said, "I love you, but here's a paper plate, some plasticware, I'll feed you, but you can't come in my house." Why did she say that? Because I'm the same joker that low crawled through her house and used to steal her money from her. I'm the same cat. Look, the story ain't changed. I'm the same cat that the last time I stole from my grandmother, it was a note in a hiding place waiting for me. What? The note said, I'm going to tell you what the note said. The note said that I hate you from stealing from me when I would give you anything you want. Yeah, I'm that guy. I don't know what your bottom is. Really not important what the specifics of your bottom was. Understand that all that's important is that you felt the way I felt that moment when I found that note, and when the last person I knew loved me beyond all other things had finally decided that it was nothing else she could do for me. I'm talking about finally, man, at the end of the road, man, when I finally found myself in such a condition where I knew that there was something out there eluding me, man, and I needed help and I needed to find it, but I didn't have what it took to find it. Look, and all you confused jokers that think that you earned your seat, check it out. If you earned what you deserve like I earned what I deserve, check it out. There's a box out there for you. Oh, you ain't got to like that. I'm talking about there's a box, man. My best thinking, all my best thinking tells me is, do y'all got half? That's my shit. That's my best shit. You got half? Come on, man. We could get real high. All these people in it, we could get real high. You got half. Ain't a whole lot of sex, man. You know what I mean? You be tricking, but like once you go half and then you can't talk and the thing ain't working. Come on, man. You know all that. So all you movie making triple X jokers, you're a lying motherfucker if you're smoking crack. Huh? So I'm talking about like finally finding myself in the condition, man, while I was ready to do the kind of work and I came in here. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, crack or get you ready for a spiritual awakening. No doubt about it. And you know, just be real clear about that. You know what I mean? It's some other slow motion type of drug, but crack will have your ass ready for a spiritual awakening. Oh, you won't be coming here talking about no higher power for long. You know what I'm saying? You God. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? So I got here, man, and I started doing the work, man, and I got to that point, man, where I started to realize, man, if I could just learn to, like, back off from all my great ideas, man, that I wouldn't have to suffer that insurmountable pain that comes as a result of the second half of the first step, because I started to surrender a lot more quietly, man. They said that as soon as I surrendered, that the recovery process would begin for me, and I started moving forward, and I got into that step, man, that I believe was designed to create a dependency on you, and I started coming here, and I started talking to you, and working with you, and I started to get better, and I didn't see color or race or age or gender. I don't give a fuck who you like or who you don't like. You like girls, so fuck, I like them too. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. You know what I mean? And we did whatever we had to do, and in some kind of way, I found a way through our process to stay clean, and I became more and more excited as time went on, and I did a fourth step, and I wasn't worried about what was going on. I'm not one of them jokers that write the fourth step and then go back and read what I wrote and make sure that is correct, and maybe I don't want to leave. No, I'm in part of the Move It On crew. Keep it moving, crew. Keep it moving. Keep writing, keep it moving. Keep writing, keep it moving. And I got with my sponsor, and look, here's my experience. The first time I went through the step process, y'all didn't tell me that if I live with somebody, it'd be a good idea to hide my fourth step. I mean, I know this ain't the topic, but and I always say that when I went through the step process, every time I did a fourth step, it drastically changed my life. And if your wife at the time happened to find your fourth step, and you just happen to be getting real honest in your fourth step, and you really ain't taking into consideration that she might find your fourth step, then you might say some shit that might cause the relationship to break up. All right, and you might find some shit that might cause you a relationship that's probably way past the expiration date to finally end. Of natural causes. So that relationship ended, and I moved on, and I did fifths and sixths and sevens, and got the great relief that came as a result of it. I did the thing, man, that I became a living example in the sixth step that I was incapable of solving my own problem, which was me. You know what I mean? And I ran around, I tried like hell. You saw me try, because that's the step. The sixth step is one of them steps that if anybody in here is working the sixth step, and you happen to be at this convention this weekend, we could probably sit back and people watch on the bench and say, sixth step. Oh, that motherfucker crazy sixth step. You know what I mean? So that's what happened. So I moved on. Suffice to say, man, I moved through the step process, and I did the things in relationships, and I did all these things, and I tried and tried and tried to improve the quality of my life and improve my relationships with other people, and then I got with the dragon lady. I don't know where Keith at. Keith here yet, man?
I don't know.
All right, man. That motherfucker. So anyway, I got with somebody, and I got with somebody because I liked what she looked like, and I liked what she sounded like, but I didn't even listen out for where her spirit was at. And it was funny because I was sharing at this convention, and, you know, I'm one of them great speaking asses, and I think I'm one of them guys that, you know, start an argument on Monday to share real good on Saturday at the convention, and I get real consumed with whether my tape is a top five seller or some shit. And so what happens is I'll sacrifice my spiritual well-being just for the sake of getting a couple oohs and ahs just to go home on Sunday night and have the electric off. So, like, that's who I was. I'm just saying, because you might be sitting there saying, I want to fucking share. No, you don't. That means you got to feel some stuff. And if you're not doing the work that's necessary, I'm telling you that it takes work to get up here and to continue to relive, you know what I mean, for the benefit of our peers, a painful experience after painful experience. You know what I mean? So I did that stuff. And after having worked some steps a couple of times, because I didn't never just stop working the steps after I've been through them. And I'm telling you, here's my problem. Here's the hit. I look good as hell coming out of the hole. I'm talking about if you put a bullseye on my back and a couple of pit bulls and have me in a hole, then I'll work a program. That's a prime example of what this program has to offer. I have this ability when I'm in a corner, you know what I mean? Because I won't allow myself to be in a corner and be cut off in a position where you'll think I won't be able to come out clean. And because I think that you think that's going to happen for me, I'll work a recovery program that will be an example for everybody to follow. But what I don't do is I don't work the same kind of effort into staying out the hole. So now here's where this complacency piece come from, because it said that complacency is like a silent killer. That's like diabetes or some shit. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. So it says right here, man, it says addiction is patient, subtle, progressive, and incurable. It is also fatal, and we can die. Hold on, God, I be forgetting that. Because, see, I knew I could die when I was using, but I be forgetting that as long as I'm clean, you know what I mean? Any clean day is a successful day, even if I just knock the fuck out of somebody's baby in the head. Or, well, I'm having a successful day because I didn't use. And I forget that in the beginning of the basic text, when it gets into our step process, it talks about one of the disease's main agents is substitution. So what I'm saying is that complacency will get you in touch with not only substitution, but your ability to use without a chemical. So now, I'm talking about I gained the ability, because it says complacency is the enemy of members with substantial clean time, because if we remain complacent for long, the recovery process ceases. I'm talking about like getting in a situation with a whole lot of years clean, man, and thinking that you could just go on cruise control and stop doing the kind of work that it takes, lose your enthusiasm, stop taking your basic tech to meeting, and then all of a sudden your recovery process ceases. Maybe they ain't heavy to you. Maybe they ain't good enough. Maybe you need to go to your sixth step. Let's do the sixth step here. It says we need not lose faith when we become rebellious. What the hell is rebellion? When rebellion, it says, can produce indifference or intolerance, we can only be overcome by a persistent effort. Well, why is that important? Because every time we have a meeting and we read our suggested readings, you hear this. It says the one thing more than anything else. That's one thing more than anything else, dog. That means there's nothing else that's going to beat us down like this. Well, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? It said the one thing more than anything else that will defeat us and our recovery is an attitude. Now, it said in the literature that we need an active change in our attitudes and our ideas. So if I'm not changing my attitude, or in fact, I come in here with a funky attitude on a regular enough basis, then what probably I'm producing is what it calls indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. That's rebellion. What I'm doing is I'm setting myself up with years clean, man, to go back out there and allow my process to cease. And I know you want to talk that shit. Well, maybe if I relapse and if I come back, I didn't lose everything that I had when I was using it. Say, either you lose what you learned in here or you lose it to a relapse. I don't want to hear, look, fuck that. This ain't no popularity contest. When you go back out of here, you forgot some shit or you ain't working some shit or whatever. When you come back here, you need to surrender to the fact that you brand fucking new. You don't know shit. And get in the fucking corner and get on your head like I told you. I ain't got to be cute. Obviously, being cute didn't save you the last time. Little funky little attitude. I ain't calling my sponsor. What, you want to die? I ain't making that meeting, and I'll be damned if I'm going to cross the room and hug that motherfucker. He the only one that can help you. No, I'm just saying. So I started to understand, man, that there was some stuff going on, man. So a couple years ago, and I moved to Virginia, and I'm doing my thing. I got saved, rescued out of relationship, because the relationship with the person that I had more clean time and more experience with, and I had been through the steps, but I was such a coward I couldn't leave her. So thank God he gave her the courage after 5 years to leave me. Let's not talk about that shit. I didn't call my sponsor and say, can I get with her? He'd have been like, hell no. Come on, man. So I stick and stay, and I cry, and I boohoo, and I go through pain, and I get in fights at conventions, and yeah, I'm that dude was fighting at the registration at the regional convention in northern New Jersey. Yeah. Ripped my motherfucking best NA shirt off me. I ain't lying. They used to make some hot shirts back in the day. Ripped my shit right off me. I don't know what happened. All I remember is that she was up here on the wall and her feet was dangling and shit. I was a recovering addict and I'm a 12-step member, and why am I choking this woman off her motherfucking feet? Why am I a likely candidate for an orange jumpsuit with years clean? Why am I standing in front of my second sponsor? You know I got my NA sponsor in your honor. Why am I standing there, man, with years clean after being through the steps? I'm a 12-step member. You know the titles we give us. I'm a 12-step member, and I'm holding, and I'm making tapes all over the fucking up and down the East Coast, and I was your banquet speaker, and I'm paying a couple bills now, and she's hanging on the fucking wall, dangling from her motherfucking feet. You might want to hear the results of complacency. So then the next night I share on loving you and losing me. It's fucking standing room only. Because y'all like shit like that. Talking about like suffering, man, and getting out of that relationship, being rescued from that relationship. Don't let me start fronting like I got out of the relationship. Like I said, thank God he gave her the courage to step away from me. And so what happened is, I moved to Virginia, and I start doing my thing, and I think I'm growing, but what happens is because nobody's there to watch me, you know what I mean, I go on cruise control, and I start making meetings in the area that I'm at, and I don't really like them motherfuckers, and I think they drunk and shit, so I'm not fucking with them, you know what I mean? No, I'm talking about like mind difference or intolerance towards spiritual principles, you know what I mean? I need to say like right now, man, it's about my perception, and my first step told me right out the gate that my problem wasn't the drug, it was my generally negative outlook on life. We're gonna step heavy, man. Do the fucking steps. You ain't know that? You better ride a step, motherfucker. You better ride a step. So I'm saying the problem was I had a problem. The problem was I had a problem with the jokers I was messing with. I couldn't feel or see how they was working the process, and I became overly arrogant and extremely judgmental, and I couldn't recover in an area like that with people who didn't sound like or act like or recover like the people where I came from, you know, the greater Camden area, the best fucking area. Look, when you start talking that shit, when you in a home group or got a sponsor, and your sponsor is the best sponsor ever you ever had, and your home group is the best home group you ever had, and the best area that you ever had, and then God decided to move you, how you going to receive the new blessing if what you had is the best thing you ever had? So what you do is you find yourself outside the door with a sleeping bag, laying there hoping that she opens the door back, please let me back in, and the blessing's down the hall. That's complacency, standing outside the door waiting for some shit that's free from you to come back. So I'm sitting there, man, and I'm hanging out in Virginia, and I need to go through this, man, and all of a sudden, because I'm not calling on y'all, and I'm not really recovering in the area that I'm at, and I'm not calling a sponsor that much, because something happens when you start getting complacent. You stop calling on people that can really help you. So she calls, you know, the old joint, the dragon woman, said, hey, I'm better, you know what I'm saying? Girl struggling down here. Can a girl come up? I say, all right, we'll be friends. You can come on up, put your shit in storage, hang out till you find a place. And, you know, just in case you ain't no friends, don't fuck friends. But, like, I fucked her the first night she got here. So, you know, I fucked all that up, is what I'm saying. Next thing you know, my four steps get mailed out all throughout the fellowship and highlighted for the shit that has something to do with the person that's been mailed to, and, you know, all kind of drama, and I develop an ulcer, and I'm hiding. I'm coming home from work, and I'm peeking down the street to see if the car's there, because I don't want to go home and she there, and I'm calling the cops on that bitch, and the cops say you can't kick her out because she's been living here too long. I've been a week, dude. I'm paying all the bills. You need to kick this bitch out. You can't make her go to court, dog, get a restrainer, do something. So once again, God gave her the courage to leave and shit and go back where else she came from, and I struggled, and I found myself laying out in the middle of my living room floor, butt naked, with candlelight, so I'm begging God to take my house back. Because, see, God had to humble me. God had me to put me in a position. See, what I have forgot that prayer works. I have forgot that prayer works. You don't just accidentally get 10, 11, 12, and 13 years clean without knowing that prayer works. It ain't a mere coincidence, man. When you start working through the step process, start developing healthy relationships, to come from a hoe to a husband and shit. I'm talking about like doing all these positive things that's going in your life, like get a job and keep it. You know what I mean? Show up on time and leave only when you're supposed to. Get elected into positions that work, man, that would totally blow your mind if you even thought that could happen for you when you was running. You know what I mean? And, you know, remember jumping the fences and kicking down trash cans and being chased by everybody's dog to all of a sudden like having your own yard and cutting your own grass and splitting your own wood and like showing up and being that productive member of society at work that people start coming to and saying, like, check it out, Wim, can you help me, Wim? Can you help me? And the phone never stopped ringing. They want your help. and they want you to come and do the H&I commitment. Oh my God, and it's just something about like when we listen to you, and then all of a sudden your phone ring, complete strangers, and they call you and they say, in Pittsburgh, check it out, can you please come and share your experience with us, because like we just heard from a friend, from a friend, from a friend, you was working with some shit. You know what I mean? Because they don't really need you to start sending tapes out and all that bullshit that you think you need to do to get in the position that we are in, because check it out, right? Like, this is God work, and we're in God country. You want to see the dream and everything that needs to be revealed, man? What you need to do is do with the work that's in store for you, and check it out, don't be so consumed about completing the task. Enjoy the journey. Oh, I got to hurry up and get this step done, and I got a time limit, and my God, I know, boy, my sponsor going to be ready for me next week, and I'm going to be done, and I'm tired of other sponsors finishing their step work before me, and what you doing is you writing so fast, you missing all the blessing that's coming as a result of answering the questions that are in set up and in tune to bring up something out of you, man, that's been hidden from you. We talked about it before, man. I talked about it in the complacency, man, how we have the ability to be walking down the street, and all of a sudden something jumps out of fucking bushes on you, and it's you. Talking about being stuck up by you. Yeah. Give me your morals.
And your values.
All your fucking values. You better cheat on her. You know you ain't shit and you ain't never been shit. Ain't no need of you trying to front now. Practicing a principle and you start doing dumb shit like, if you don't leave me alone, disease, I'm gonna work a step. It's too late. You should have been working fucking steps. I wanted to do some cute shit. I really wanted to like encourage you. If you ain't working steps, then please work a step. It'll be so much better for you. You'd suffer a lot less intensely if you just work a step and learn to pray and shit. It'd be so much nicer if you just cross the room and hug that person you really ain't feeling. Oh my God, they don't smell right. That's okay. You stunk when you got here. It's really okay. Give them a hug anyway. Tell your own story till it hurts. Fuck that. You silly joker. You need to work some steps. Come to the meeting. Stop giving me excuses and stuff. Let's do this thing together, because you know why I'm telling you? Because you probably got the shit all twisted. You think that the joker on the top of the pyramid is for the 12-step member, the cat on the top of the world, but you don't realize that the top of the pyramid is reserved for that joker who's in the most pain. Ain't no clean time requirement for the person in the most pain. Thank God we got a base of the pyramid. That then check it out, there's no clean time requirement for the people that hold the link on the base of the pyramid. And thank God, right, that they don't all have bad days on the same day. So where I'm at, man, in closing, man, is I don't know what happened, man. I've experienced an awakening of the spirit, man, and it came as a direct result of like a new catch of friends. I got a new group of people around me, man. I'm talking about like some new stuff is going on. And I'm talking about, you know how you go to the diner and it's about 50 of y'all, and then by the end of the night it's like 5 of y'all, and that's when y'all really start talking about recovery? So that's what happens with us. Now, I'm not saying that I'm knocking everybody that got to leave early. What I'm saying is you might want to see what's happening when you leave. Maybe you might want to hang out 5 minutes more instead of leaving before the miracle happened. Maybe you want to find out how a cat like Wim, who was a hoe, turned into a husband, became a husband. You might want to ask me shit like that and stop acting like you're scared of me. You might want to stop talking about me and talking about my friends calling them mini-me's and shit because you're a coward. Just come ask me. Straight up. Straight up, I love you all. I couldn't do it without you. When I'm struggling, it was y'all, man, when I came to meetings, raised my hand with 12 years and saying, look, I just don't want to cheat on my wife. I don't know how to not cheat on my wife. Please help me not cheat on my wife. And it was y'all that helped me. And it wasn't no old-timer with a lot of experience. It was newcomers that came and grabbed me up and said, William, that's okay. I got you. Well, you got to go to Boston. I'm going. Where you going? Are we going to New York this weekend? I'm going. Where we going to hang out in Jersey? I'm going. What, we got South Carolina coming up? Yeah, it's on the menu, D. It's on the menu. That's how I'm staying clear, and that's why I'm still a loving and caring husband who had the ability to stand before you and tell you that I was once a hoe, and now I'm a joker that hasn't cheated on his woman. I can tell you that I was once a joker that only knew how to play and fight, but now I know how to hug my baby when she need a hug. Talk about man-sized shit. If Fuck the bills. You supposed to pay the bills. I ain't going to clap for you because you playing some bills. Pay the bills. You supposed to pay the bills. Take your ass to fuck to work. You supposed to go to work. You like eating? You like having that cell phone? Take your ass to work and keep all that shit. But if you really want to impress me, talk about how you ain't kicking the dog. Talk about how you hugging your woman. Talk about how you ain't cheating on your girl or your man. Talk about how you have integrity, man, and you're practicing that shit no matter what conditions is in your life. And I'm going to love the hell out of you even when you can. Why? Because I was once somebody who couldn't. And I still am very capable of going outside of all my beliefs when I fall into the area of complacency. It's a silent killer, baby. It's one of them things that you kiss for the first time, and even when you kiss it and you know what it is and it bites the fuck out of your tongue, draws blood. Obsession and compulsion tells me I got to kiss it again. And when I'm stuck up in the complacency, man, I am stuck in complacency. It is not a luxury that I can afford. My sponsor tells me, William, you don't have the luxury to walk around here and act like you ain't recovering. Yeah, that's what my sponsor tells me. He said, William, you, as a result of doing the work in here, you have become a man of distinction in this program. Yeah, your sponsor needs to tell you that kind of stuff. Your sponsor needs to let you know that your work means something. That the effort you put in place, man, is valued. I said, sponsor, I'm going to keep doing the work. He's saying, wait a minute, if it look like you doing wrong, you can't afford to walk around here looking like you doing wrong. You need to be concerned about how it's perceived more than you're concerned about how what you really doing. Because I got excuses for everything. I ain't doing nothing, sponsor. I'm loving my woman. I'm showing up at work. He said, well, do it look like you have all that stuff going on? So I keep coming. I keep doing the work that's necessary. As a result of that, I'm a basic tech. I work with about 6 pieces of literature. Look, we got all kinds of shit. We walk around the back, we be showing our ass off. We got it all tabbed up. I know it irks the fuck out of you. Look at it. They got them NA tags on their shit. And who the fuck they think they are? We recovering addicts. That's all. We don't go nowhere else. We ain't do addicted, poly addicted, cross addicted. We believe in this one fellowship. We can have all little addictive needs met right here. Yeah. This is no longer Andeville. We are in the motherfucking house. And we came to do the work, and we sponsoring boys that become men, and we got women sponsoring. Look, we got women in the area, man, and they doing 4th and 5th and 6th steps, and they working their ass off, and I'm proud as hell of them. We got it going on. And if you don't know that, get in and put your traveling boots on. Take a risk. Go ahead and travel a little further than the block you used to cop on. Stop making just your home group. You know, that's why I don't never see your ass. Because you just had your home group. Somebody said, where am I at? William, I don't never see William. Where the hell's William at? Because William make meetings. Where the fuck you at? You know what? They ain't going to never call me back. That motherfucker crazy. That motherfucker William is crazy. I don't care. It's all good. I'm going to keep coming back anyway. You know what I mean? I'm going to close like I always do. Real simple statement, man, and God is so good and merciful. And the statement is this, is that if you meet William tonight and you forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet the God of your understanding and you forget him, you lost everything. I'll keep coming back.
Right after that, right? Huh? You go right next, right?
Yeah.
I believe so too. Everybody forgetting, I guess. Yeah. Hey, we got one more speaker. Yeah. We got one more speaker about to speak. Our next speaker I would like to introduce is Deborah.
Jackie.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Jackie. We got Jackie from Philly. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. I'm an addict named Jackie. And I'm from Pittsburgh, PA.
I'm sorry, Jackie.
That's all right. That's okay. Can we have a moment of silence? Followed by the serenity prayer for the still sick and suffering addict. God. Grant us the serenity, to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. First of all, I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and I would certainly like to thank this programming committee for asking and taking a risk, for asking me to come here and share. When Wayne called me about 2 months ago and asked me would I come down here to share, and he left the message on my machine, and he said that I want you to share on complacency, the silent killer. I said, I don't know why he asked me to do that. I ain't got a clue why he would ask me to come down. I said, how do he know anything? He don't know nothing about me. He met me one time, and he don't know nothing about me. So why would he give me a topic like that? And what I come to understand and come to realize is that God put people in your life for a reason and a purpose and a season. And I said, I don't know nothing about complacency. So I went into the dictionary, right? And Webster says that complacency is satisfaction or contentment, gratification, smug, and self-sufficient, and feeling of completeness. I said, no, that is not me. I am not selfish. I am not self-centered. I don't feel completed on no level of my life. And right away, I understand that the first thing about complacency is the denial and thinking that you ain't there. And I begin to understand that in the years that I've been in this program, I can remember my first year in this program that I started sharing when I had 9 months clean, because I really thought that I had it going on. And people would ask me to share, and I would share my experience, strength, and hope. And I began to start feeling like, and I started working early. I got involved with service and programming committee and activities chair and all that stuff. And I really need to get honest, is that I'm dealing with a whole lot of humility, because at 14 and a half years clean, I got sick and tired of showing up to Narcotics Anonymous. Now, let me really get honest and get real real. December the 17th of 1904, I celebrated 14 years in this program, okay? When I celebrated my anniversary, I believe that I went to 2 meetings and picked up a key tag. And I started really feeling like, and you know what, I need to get real honest, because I need to tell you why I started feeling like I didn't want to be here no more. When I come into the program in 1990, we stayed and sat from prayer to prayer. That was number one. We had a sponsor. Our sponsor wanted us to have a home group. We did the steps with a sponsor. When I come in here, I learned that sponsorship was the heartbeat of this program. And after being around here a little while, I don't know what happened. I don't know about up here in Chesapeake Bay, but I know in Pittsburgh, they started falling out and started fighting in the meetings and talking on the cell phone. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, we didn't have no goddamn cell phones. You know, we respected the fact that this is spiritual ground. You know, we didn't run off and get into a group and sit over in the corner and talk, because when my sponsor told me, said, if you can't hear, get up in the front. And I'm here to tell you that after a little while of being around here and start seeing, you know, and start hearing, because I would go into a meeting, you go into a discussion meeting, and they ain't sharing about what's going on with them. They cross-talking, dumping stuff, Recovery is the place where you come to get help. And I stopped showing up. I need to get honest about that. I stopped showing up. And because I did that, what I've learned about myself is that dope is not the only addiction that I had. My addiction took off into other areas of my life. You know, and what I need to talk about is I started sitting at home watching Lifetime, The Young and the Restless, and I realized my addiction took off into other areas of my life because I'm a compulsive gambler. Now, I need to get honest about that. And I know that I'm the only one. So the obsession and the compulsion went and started and went off into other areas of my life. I stopped showing up. I stopped going to meetings. I call it running down the street. You know, it don't take, but where I live at, it don't take but an hour to get down and say and bet and drop a coin or two coins, and it became more than one or two coins. But I justified and rationalized and said, because I ain't losing nobody else's money, I'm losing mine. You know, and so the more I started doing that, and the more I became obsessed with going outside of myself, the less I started showing up to Narcotics Anonymous. I started seeing and feeling the difference and not the similarities. I need to get real honest about that. You know, I ain't the group guru that I thought I was when I first came into this program. You know, I don't run around and go and hang out no more and share like I used to. You know, but what I know today is God is bringing me back into the fold. You know, because for Wayne to call me and ask me to come here and share about complacency and the basic text, I did not want, because I'm not spiritually grounded. You know, because if you ain't showing up, if you ain't doing meetings on a regular basis, if you ain't calling a sponsor regularly, and if you ain't writing no steps, shit, I got sick of steps. I did the steps 3 times, and my sponsor said, well, you ain't finished. This is a continuously journey. I told her, I just don't feel like writing no more steps right now. She said, are you done? I said, yeah, for a little bit. You know, and she kept encouraging me and encouraging me. Jackie, you need to do your steps. You need to show up. You need to get your home group. So what I did, I went out and I got a home group. My home group is by the book, and it's all newcomers. I said, I know what I'll do. I'll just go in here and I'll lend some support and I'll show up and I'll go to that meeting. And listen, I'm real stuck. I need to be honest about just being real, real stuck. Because I joined that home group the end of December. I bet you since then I've been to 5 meetings in there. And I still don't know what it is. You know, and one thing that I haven't done, I haven't asked God to remove this obsession and the compulsion in other areas of my life. I haven't done it. You know, and the basic text said that complacency is the enemy of members with substantial amount of clean time. And it's real honest. That's the truth. Because I'm stuck, but what I need to remember is where I came from and what it took for me to get where I'm at today. I need to remember that I was the dope fiend sitting on Center and Wiley shooting dope 24/7, homeless, had no place to go, and remember hanging on that corner, leaning on the mailbox where people would just walk past, and one guy walked past and spit on the ground and said, you ain't shit and you ain't gonna never be shit. I need to draw back up on the memories of what it took for me to get to Narcotics Anonymous. I need to remember that complacency and procrastination have gotten me to where I am today. I need to remember that that complacency and procrastination kept me in my bedroom shooting dope for 5 days and peeping through the curtains and couldn't wear no shoes. When I don't want to show up to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I always need to remember where I come from. I need to remember that 15 years, let me tell you something about complacency. I guess it's been now about five years, and I wanted to, I was talking about wanting to go to school, and I didn't get real comfortable on my job. I've been on my job like 15 years, and I kept talking about I wanted to go to school. So I started classes, and I'm going to class like 3 nights a week. And, you know, we got to be real careful what we pray and ask God for. You got to be real careful, because when you say that prayer and then you tell him, God, I need you to move me on, and I'm sick and tired, and I don't want to be on this job no more, and I want to go to school. And but the job got real, real comfortable, you know. You run out an hour for lunch, and then you sit down and you watching The Young and the Restless and American Justice, and you know, you crossing your legs and you sitting in the smoke room and all that old stuff, and your boss ain't bothering you because now you didn't get so locked in to what you used to doing and what you always done. So is he, right? Now, I've been on this job 15 years. 48 hours ago, I work in a nursing home, an all-black facility nursing home. And 48 hours ago, the board and everybody came in. I lost my job. They're shutting down this facility. And I'm saying, you know, I don't know if I'm in shock or what it is. I mean, I can't believe that they shutting down this facility. But I need to remember what I didn't ask God for and just didn't have the courage to move on. You know, I know damn well I ain't got no business sitting somewhere for 15 years when there's other ambitions and other dreams on the inside that I have. But that goes together with that procrastination. You know, just won't move on. So, you know, when I called my husband and told him, I said, you know what? I said, you know, they getting ready to close up, and they getting our packages. I'm talking about 15 years, and I got 30 days. And it will be closed the end of May. And my husband says, well, you've been talking about going to school. You half-stepping and you going 3 nights a week, so now you can go 5 days a week from 9 to 5. You know? And I said, but am I willing to? He said, it ain't about you being willing. That's what you're going to have to do. You know? So I'm careful what I ask God to do for me in my life. You know, because that's what I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to go here and I'm going to go to school. And I'm going to be able to pick and choose what I want to do from now on. You know, at 56 years old, I need to be able to go to school, do what I want to do for once in my life, and not do what somebody else want me to do. You know, and on the way down here, my sister came and my sponsee. And I sat in the back of the car, and I'm telling you, she was coming up and down and going across that water. When we left Pittsburgh, it was 70 degrees, and got here, it was 20. I said, it's cold down here. But I sat back, and I was able to think about just how far God has brought me. Now, I didn't, because I'm telling you, I'm not spiritually grounded. I mean, I went to the basic text and I wrote up some stuff and more will be revealed and just for today. And I did all that stuff because when somebody asks you to speak, I don't know about nobody else, but the first thing we all want to do, we want to run to a meeting. We want to sit and listen. We're going to ask this person, and I'm going to ask you, what did this topic mean to you? You know? And amen, but now we want to go, and then we want to grab the basic text. We want to wipe the dust off of it. And I ain't there tonight. And I got it here in front of me, and I ain't looked at it. I done read it, and I done looked at it. And 2 months ago, I started running to the meetings. You know, and I did. I started showing up and running to the meeting, but the obsession and the compulsion to do this other thing, I need to turn it over. I need to turn this thing over to God. And the differences, because at home, every meeting that I go to, I'm telling you, I would stretch out. I don't mind hollering and crying in the meeting, letting you know what's going on with me. One person. Out of all the people at home that know me, one person come up to me and said, you know what, Jackie? And it stopped me from going. I didn't need nothing but an excuse. He said, you know what? You need to stop sharing about that. Well, where the hell else am I going to share it if I don't share it in the narcotic? Well, maybe you need to think about going to the other fellowship. I ain't going to no other fellowship. This fellowship is one disease. For every area of our life. I ain't going nowhere else because guess what? The same first step that they going to tell me about over that way, I got the basic text and I know something about the first step. And what happens to me is that I'm in denial because I'm seeing that. Because see, I've been through this thing before. This complacency ain't the first time I've been here in recovery. I've been here before, but this time I've stayed a little longer than usual. And I've gone to different meetings, but I know what it is because I know what I'm locked up in. I know what I'm doing. And 2 weeks ago, look here. 2 weeks ago, I went down to this place, and I had to go to another area because a whole lot of us don't get honest about the other addictions in our life. Because I went into this place, and I'm telling you something. I know damn well that 25 of them had left the 12 o'clock meeting and came down there where I was at. And I left the whole area. You know, so I told my sister, I said, I need to quit beating myself up about that. I know the problem. I know what I need to do about the problem. And I know that if I ask God to remove it, just like he removed that dope, he'll remove that. You know, so I'm just like rambling off. And I'm not going to share anymore. I want you all to keep me in your prayer, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of this convention, and I want to thank William for sharing. He filled me up, and I'm an addict named Jackie. Thanks for letting me share.